Most of us have some fear of death, but the Bible paints some lovely pictures of what happens when a Christian dies. It's like folding your tent and leaving the campground. It's like weighing anchor and setting sail for home. Today, a final picture of a Christian's death, what a believer in Christ can look forward to in that transition from shadows to sunlight. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current 7-part Running to Win series is all about what happens 1 minute after you die. In this, his third message, The Ascent into Glory, Dr. Lutzer brings another biblical picture of a believer's homegoing.
There's a final image. Death is a departure. It is an exodus. It is a restful sleep. It is a collapsing tent. It is the sailing of a ship. It is also a home, a home. You say, well, that's not really a figure of speech. That is what it is, and that's true. And for this, I want you to simply think about the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. I don't know about you, but most of us who grew up in churches, we always think of that long ranch-style house, about 10 acres, several limousines in the front yard, lawn beautifully manicured. And that's where it is. And that's why we used to sing, you know, I've got a mansion over the hilltop. Not heard you sing that recently, Jerry. Sometime you might want to try that. But I've got a mansion over the hilltop. So we think of ourselves as being in this mansion. Actually, the Greek is many dwelling places. And later on, we're going to have a message just on heaven. And I'll tell you how big heaven really is. At least the book of Revelation seems to tell us. And how many possible mansions it has and how much space you're going to have. But for now, I simply want you to be reminded of the fact that these are dwelling places, these are abodes, these are condominiums with your name on it. And if your name is on it, nobody else is going to move in. Nobody else is going to move in. And the great thing is that where I am, there ye may be also. And that's the heart and soul of it, to be with Christ. Oh, we will see other people. We will recognize them. I think we'll have instant recognition. But I tell you that the most blessed thing is we will be with Christ and He with us. And we'll have our abode with Him. And so that's the fifth figure of speech. What I'd like to do is to simply conclude by giving you some lessons that we can learn so far from death. Number one, death is a gift of God. I've already said it, but I need to say it again. Do you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 and 23, Paul says, all things are yours, whether height or depth, whether Paul or Cephas, whether life or death. Death is a gift. It's a gift. I know that we do all that we possibly can to keep ourselves from opening it. We belong to HMOs. And some of them that I've heard about will help you open that gift, by the way. Some people say not an HMO, a PPO. Other options out there, but eventually death will get you. It'll get you. But it's a gift. You know what the early Christians used to say when they were being thrown to the lions? They used to say, you know, the pagans can take many things from us. They can take our houses and they can take our lands and they can even take our children. The one thing they cannot take from us is the gift of death. Nobody can take the gift of death from us. In fact, they might be the means that God will use to give us that gift, they said. But nobody can rid us of the possession of the Christian, namely death. It is the entrance way into the heavenly kingdoms. You can't get there from here any other way. So don't fight it. Don't fight it. Unless we live when the Lord returns. We're going to all go that way. Fight it for a while, but in the end, simply accept it. Do you know that when some of the believers in Europe during the time of the Reformation were persecuted, and when they were thrown into fires, drowning, sword, we have thousands and tens of thousands of people who did that. Most people don't know that that's our history. Some people, when I tell them that whole villages of men, women, and children were massacred simply because they believed that one should be baptized as an adult upon profession of faith in the 1500s in Europe, they can't believe it. They say, did that really happen? Yeah, the stain of blood is throughout all of church history. But it is said that on one occasion that the authorities actually brought a band to drown out the songs of those who were singing as they were on their way to death. That's how joyful they were to die and to be with Christ. Death is a gift. It's a gift. You go to the Drake Hotel here in Chicago, they have 24-hour valet service, they'll open the door for you. Might cost you something once you get inside, but they'll open the door for you. You can get a limousine to take you there. Listen, death is the chariot. It's the limousine that God sends to take us to Himself. And when we get there, we find out that there's a doorman, and it's the one whom we have come to trust in this life, and He is there to meet us on the other side. Death is a gift. Secondly, eternity. Eternity must help us interpret time. Did you get a chance to write that down? Eternity must help us interpret time. I asked you to keep your Bible open to 2 Corinthians, and I went ahead and closed mine, but I'm going back there. Notice what the Apostle Paul says just before chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, that great discussion about heaven and our resurrection body. He says in chapter 4, verse 16, 2 Corinthians, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. Did you notice? All of our affliction is light, and it is momentary. Take a string from here to the farthest star, and when you think about it, our life then would be just a hairline. But actually, we aren't going to live just to the farthest star, as it were. We are going to actually live forever. Therefore, there is no suffering that God can ever put us through in this life that will not be made up to us in the life to come. Many, many times over. In fact, Paul says, if you were to take a scale and on one side put all of your trials and all of your difficulties, he said it will be as light as a feather in comparison to the heavy weight of glory. The glory of God on the other side causes the scale to go plonk because it's so much heavier and so much greater. I don't know what you're going through today, but I'm glad to inform you that it will someday end. It will someday end. Isn't that encouraging? It isn't going to go on forever, but heaven will go on forever. And the glory that is to be revealed in us will go on forever. So eternity must help us interpret time. And finally, third, our eternal destiny is determined in this life. Our eternal destiny is determined in this life. Now, eventually, we're going to speak about the great white throne judgment and even the doctrine of hell. But let me simply say, there are many people who think that someday they're going to stand before God, and the purpose of that judgment, they think, is to determine whether they are going to go into heaven or hell. Did you know that the Bible does not give us any indication that there is a judgment like that? Rather, what the Bible teaches is that those who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, they are taken immediately to heaven, and there they encounter Christ in what is known as the judgment seat of Jesus Christ to determine their degree of rewards in heaven. Those who do not know Christ as Savior show up eventually. They are raised in another judgment called the Great White Throne Judgment, and there they are judged to determine the degree of punishment that they will have in hell. Two different judgments, two different destinies, two different crowds of people. And the decision as to whether or not you will be at one or the other is made in this life. There is no chance afterwards. There's no chance afterwards. It is appointed unto men once to die. And after death, there is a judgment. There's a judgment for all of us, but there are two different judgments. Do you realize that it is only those who put faith and trust in Jesus Christ that can accept death in the way in which I've outlined it in this message? And the purpose and the reason for that is very clear. Because if you have come under the shelter of Christ's death and what he did on the cross for sinners, if you come under that protection, there is therefore now no eternal condemnation for you, because you are passed from death unto life. And this is what Jesus said, "He that believeth on me shall not see death." He will not see death. Oh, he'll die physically. It'll either be cancer or Parkinson's disease or some other way, an accident or heart failure. There's a zillion different ways by which God has all kinds of chariots that he sends our way. But he that believeth in me shall not see death. He will not see an eternal death. He will see only life. And when you hear that a believer dies, and some of you have had that experience even recently within your families and within your friends, would you in your sorrow and in your tears rejoice in the fact that God has called another child home? And he is saying to us today that death is the ascent into glory. It is the means by which God and his child are reconciled. I end today by asking you a question. Is your faith in Christ alone? Christ alone. Do you personally know him because you've believed on him? Or is all of this kind of theoretical? Your eternal destiny is determined by what you do with Christ. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you today that even though we do see through a glass darkly, thank you that we do see. We do see. We don't see clearly what lies on the other side of the curtain, but the fact that you will be there waiting for us makes us anticipate that day. And we thank you that your word says that the sting has been taken out of death. And we pray today, Father, that you will encourage your people to look at all of the events that take place in life, the hard times, the disappointments, the pain, from the standpoint of an eternal existence, the eternal glory in your presence. And Lord, for those who do not know you as Savior today, grant them the gift of faith. May they look to you even now and be saved and say, "Lord Jesus, I trust you at this moment." Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. If you prayed that prayer and received Jesus as your Savior today, would you connect with us? At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given a phone number. Tell us your story. And of course, I want to emphasize that these particular studies are available both as a book and also, of course, in this audio version. Because my desire is to get this message to as many people as possible, that it might be used by God to take people who are indifferent to their own walk with God and their own lack of commitment to Christ, and to motivate them so that they will say, "Yes, I will believe on Jesus because eternity is coming." So I conclude today with the challenge. Let's live knowing that eternity is coming. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer concluding The Ascent into Glory, the third message in his series, 1 Minute After You Die. All of us have seen heaven depicted as a place of fluffy clouds, jeweled gates, and harp-strumming angels. Tomorrow, we'll get a real picture of those pearly gates and what happens when we get there. Join us as Dr. Lutzer speaks on Welcome, You Have Arrived. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help all of us run the race of life to the very end and beyond. 1 Minute After You Die answers some of life's biggest questions, and this series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3, or as a full-length book. For complete information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Don't miss our next Running to Win.